halfway through the program. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And the website for your latest NHL, Winnipeg Jets, and CBA news is www.illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Let's welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show from HolikOnHockey.com, a former New Jersey Devil, former New York Ranger. Bobby Holik, welcome back to the program. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm very good. How are you guys?
We're doing very well. Thanks very much for joining us on this Saturday afternoon. Happy holidays, of course, as well.
Yeah, same to you.
Thank you.
I'm sure you guys have some white Christmas up there.
Oh, we certainly do. We've had our share of snow and then some, so we can send some down your way if you need some.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. Bobby, obviously, it's December 22nd today, and, a number of months ago, if you had asked most fans if they thought the lockout would still be happening, they would optimistically have said no. Did you expect the lockout to take this long to resolve?
I still expecting to lose the whole season. Not that I'm in favor of that by any means, but from the, from October of August, even pre-lockout, I had a sense from the owners that that was their number one priority, to break the union, to try to assassinate Donald Spear's character, and none of those things have worked. So right now, they are just hoping that if they're going to cancel the season, eventually the association is going to come around. I have no idea what's going to happen, but
I think we may have lost Bobby there.
Who is Bobby?
Yeah, it looks like we lost Bobby there for a second. We'll get get him back on the line, of course, coming up in a second. So no worries on that.
Well, I mean, it's
an interesting question just to start off with. He thinks they're going to lose the whole season at this point.
And there are people who say that. I mean, you speak to some people, and you had an agent come out yesterday and say, I forget what agent it was, saying 70% chance they lose the season. It's pretty concerning. And the more people you talk to, we've kind of used, I've at least used, and I think three of us in this room have used kind of a rational thought process that, you can't fight over $3.2 billion of revenue and then blow it all.
Well, you wouldn't think you'd
be able
to.
Because that's the classic game of chicken, and then you're both driving over the cliff.
Right.
So, but at the same time, speaking to more people in the know, they say, hey, these parties aren't going to bend. There aren't any negotiations. So I think we do have Bobby back here, do we?
Coming up in a second, I think we do.
Okay.
I think we got him.
Bobby, you're back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I am. I was listening to your conversation clearly.
Oh.
I never lost you, but you lost me.
Well, okay. Welcome back in that case, then.
Thanks.
So you were saying that at this point in time, you expect that you're going to lose the whole year, the remainder of the season.
Yeah, I think the owners are run out of way things to do. Like, as I told you, they try to take it as far as they can and kind of have the union cave in, or trying to get rid of it just doesn't make sense to me anymore, because I think they never thought that the union would be as strong, as unified as they have been.
Bobby, you played in Atlanta, you played with the Rangers, obviously the Rangers being that biggest market team, and you played with the Devils. What was your interaction, I guess with New Jersey it's more so with Lou Lamoriello, but what was your interactions with the owners or presidents or managers of those teams in and around maybe before and after lockouts, and how did it change?
Yeah, the lockout, definitely the first lockout, not 94-95, but 2004-2005, when we lost the whole season, it changed the game. The culture of the game was changed forever. It became business first. There was a lot less family-owned franchises as they were in my, first part of my career. And it was just, even the players coming in, the environment changed to a point where it's all about money. The agents want the big bucks for the players who are just starting. Everybody was all about money. And it's unfortunate, because the game is better than that. It's a great game. If you play for pride, if you play for, for the team, to make the team better and all that. But because the owners took it that far and they scrapped the whole season, everybody's just started thinking about money first. And it's a completely different environment since 2005 than it's been ever before that.
Bobby, on Friday, the NHLPA obviously voted unanimously to give the NHLPA the option to file a disclaimer of interest. If you were you know, in that room, would it have been a no-brainer just to go along and you know, vote yes to the ability to file a disclaimer of interest?
Yeah, you know what, it's just another way for PA to gain or really retain some leverage. You know, they have to explore every avenue. I agree with their move because the owners never showed me any intention to negotiate. They just wanted to they wanted the union to break down, to cave in, to give them all their, like it happened in 04, 05, unfortunately, because of the Players Association leadership was so disjointed. So, bottom line, the owners came into this lockout with the same strategy they had 10 years ago, not realizing the union is more informed, more unified, and better led. And this is part of the union's move to, as we said, not necessarily gain leverage, but at least retain leverage and force the owners into a meaningful negotiation.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Bobby Holik. He's got a website, holikonhockey.com. Bobby, some players have been vocal in wanting to see an end to the lockout, saying that the Players Association should just agree to whatever deal has been on the table recently. Do you think these players will face a backlash in the dressing room for being so vocal, sort of against the union, when hockey does return?
No, I don't think so. I think more than anything, they've voiced their opinion of wanting to end this lockout, which they never really wanted to happen. You know, players want to play. You know, some players went to Europe. Yes, they're great, but their first option would be NHL. This is all in the owner's hands. They have the ball. They have had the ball for a long time, so they're just not moving with it. And I it's not a frustration from the players. Players, they will always tell you, they want to play. They wanted to play in September or October. It's, you know, there's 700-plus players. You have to find a common denominator for all of them. And there's players in different situations. So there's going to be some players who are not necessarily thrilled to be in this position, but also you don't become a great hockey player by not knowing what sacrifice is. So some of these players also know that sacrifice is important for a better future of all the players.
Bobby, I think what's kind of got lost in all of the rhetoric and, you know, all of the fighting between the NHL and the NHLPA is that a lot of these guys are just simply losing paychecks and by not playing. How did you prepare in 2004, 2005, you know, based on the fact that you weren't going to be paid?
Well, you have to realize that players could their careers could end any time. Every shift, every time you go practice, every time you go play, you could sustain an injury and never play again, or your ability to be, you know, greatly diminished. So if you don't even have to be that smart, just kind of realize that you're playing a sport or you're playing a game that it doesn't guarantee you're going to have a 20-year career. If, you know, a lot of guys don't even have a 10-year career. So you have to kind of think about the future and live that way. So if there's lockout, you can't just say, oh, if I don't get next paycheck, I'm broke. There might be some cases, but I always, you know, thought about that my next paycheck is going to be my last one, because not because of the owners not wanting me to play and locking me out, because I could get a stick in the eye, break a leg, tear up a knee. Who knows what can happen? So you live, at least I did, we're thinking that every paycheck I get, it could be the last one. Yes, there's guaranteed contracts, but at the same time, if you can't play anymore, your contract runs out. You have to move on with your life. So that was my advice to younger players in the past. You cannot take anything for granted, and you cannot live like you're going to play the game for indefinitely, because it sure is not going to happen.
Bobby, you mentioned that, and obviously you were prepared financially and have the foresight to kind of take into account the possibility of not playing. Were there players during that 2004-2005 lockout that you knew that didn't make proper preparation and were really in a financial bind?
Sure they were, but you know what? That's what PA is there for, and, you know, they had none of the counseling, but they always could talk to somebody, and there's always help. That's what Players Association has been so great for. Whether it's substance abuse or financial problems, there's always somebody there to help. And I can't tell you you know, specific players, but I'm sure there were some. Listen, there's a lot of hockey players, and not everybody's prepared, and not everybody thinks for the future. But at the same time, that's what Players Association is all about, to help every member of the association.
Bobby, we'll let you go on this last question. We were talking earlier in the show about Kyle Turris of the Ottawa Senators, who recently was complaining about his time playing overseas in Finland. You know, what's your opinion on NHL players taking away jobs from other players in Europe and then complaining about some of the conditions they face while playing in Europe?
Well, first of all, I don't think they are taking away the jobs. The jobs are available, and the teams are signing them. It's not like they're holding anybody hostage to play for those teams. But I always said, it sounds exotic and it sounds fun, but when you go there, it's a different world, it's a different culture, whether it's Finland, whether it's Russia, whether it's anywhere else. And again, the priority for every player is playing in the NHL. But if they can play, they're not going there making a ton of money. I don't think that, between the insurance and all the other expenses, very few guys make a lot of money there. It's about playing. It's about staying in the game, and it's about not missing all this valuable time in your career. But if you tell the guys, you know, tomorrow you can play in the NHL tomorrow, start, they'll be on the first plane back. Mm-hmm. So, listen, going to Finland, it's different. It's different, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. I always believed in being able to express myself the way I want. I have no problem with Kyle Turris saying what he said. No, he tried it. He didn't like it. He came back. So, and somebody asked him, he answered it honestly. So that's the way it is.
Bobby, let me ask another final question, I guess. When the article was written in the Globe and Mail, it kind of made me think, do we sometimes underestimate, you know, the cultural difficulties of players coming from Europe, from overseas to North America, and expecting them to kind of change their style and be productive right away? Because as we can see with the Canadian-American players, they're having a problem adjusting to the culture over there. And in many cases, when the players are coming over to North America, they're far younger than the players that are currently heading to Europe.
Well, it is a difference. I came as a 19-year-old. Did I have a problem adjusting on the ice? No. Did I have a problem adjusting off the ice? I didn't look at it as problems, because it was a great challenge, and I enjoyed every bit of it. So it's just going to, the problem is players from one continent to the other, one way or the other, whether it's eastward or westward, you have to be open-minded. That's all it is. Don't be, it might be different, but be open-minded. Accept the change. Accept the difference and enjoy it. It's not forever. It's only just filling the time, and when the lot is over, you're gone. So same thing for Europeans coming over here to the NHL. They're far better prepared these days. But, you know, when you come in here close-minded and you want to bring the old content to here, it's not going to happen. It's a different place. Open-mindedness and being able to accept the changes and kind of roll with it, I think that's key.
Bobby Holik from HolikOnHockey.com. Thanks very much for joining us this afternoon on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Thank you. You guys enjoyed a white Christmas.
You too. Happy holidays, Bobby. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Let's go to break. You're listening to TSN1290.ca. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. A big thank you to Bobby Holik, HolikOnHockey.com, for having joined us, giving us some insights into the current CBA negotiations. In case you missed any of that interview, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, subscribe, and get it sent to you each and every week. You can also download the show from the TSN1290.ca website. Coming up in about 10-12 minutes' time, Corey Pronman is going to join us to talk World Juniors. Speaking of juniors and prospects and that sort of thing, Hockey's Future, a website dedicated to really the amateur game and to the, you know, scouting and the young players in a team's farm system, has ranked from 1 to 30 the top teams and how they look in terms of their rankings for their prospects. And the news was not so good for Winnipeg Jets fans. They ranked number 29.
When you were talking about amateur game, I thought you were talking about Remus at the Green Room on Thursday.
No, that's beyond. That's insulting to amateurs right there. I don't know if he's heard that yet, but he won't like it. Yeah, he just heard it. Anyways, the Winnipeg Jets were ranked 29th out of 30 teams in the NHL in terms of the talent that they have in their farm system.
Okay.
fair ranking in your
Well, let me read it off the website, hockeysfuture.com, what they said. They talked about Jets. They said they're 29th ranked team. Strengths: the Jets have been methodically rebuilding their organization after years of having either lottery picks that ascended quickly to the NHL ranks or other picks that never panned out.
Okay, so let's start. You know, which is what we've heard. You know, the Thrashers often rush their players to the NHL. Yeah. You know, Burmistrov certainly.
Pogosian
certainly. I mean, you could even say Kane could have spent another year in juniors, but that's whatever. You know, obviously it hasn't affected him too terribly at this point. But that the farm system, where the was never at its was never really given time to develop.
And then so they go on and say center Mark Scheifele, the first pick taken by the team after moving to Winnipeg, gives the system a surefire NHL forward, and Jacob Trouba adds top end talent to the blue line.
Which you would hope out of your, you know, your when you're taking players in the first round in the
top 10,
you would hope that you're going to get NHL caliber players there.
The Jets have some gritty two way types in Carl Klingberg and Spencer Mihajlovic, as well as a bit of a tough nosed scorer in Ivan Telegin. Now, the weaknesses: the system lacks goaltending depth. Ed Pasquale shows potential to become a solid backup who could help carry the load. Behind him, however, are several projects who show the spark of talent, but all have holes in their games which will need filling before they have a legitimate shot at NHL jobs. The system as a whole lacks depth, and beyond Scheifele and Trouba, there are no real standouts. They rank the top five prospects as Scheifele 1, Trouba 2, Telegin 3, Postma 4, and Klingberg 5.
I think you're forgetting Adam Lowry there. Adam Lowry...
Not us, them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not. But he's really improved a lot this year. I think he's 8th in the WHL in scoring right now. I really like Adam Lowry, but what do I have to say about this? You know, the Jets are ranked 29th. Okay, it's a subjective ranking. Richie could agree with it. You could disagree with it. I don't really read that much into it. I think that the Jets have some good prospects, and I think everyone has their opinion on, you know, will Mark Scheifele be a first liner, second liner? Will he not even make the NHL? I mean, some people
I don't think anybody has any question if Mark Scheifele is going to make
the NHL. Well, I mean, some people have an extremely negative attitude on a lot of guys. So, I mean, it's
okay,
it's
Ezzie, if you want to be the optimistic one here.
I didn't say that.
Okay, well, I mean, you sound a little bit perturbed by the reading of the scouting report.
No, I'm just saying I don't really read much into it. I mean, I don't think the Jets have the best prospects in the league. I don't necessarily know that they're 29th, but...
Well, I mean, look at the farm system and look at the prospects and look at the draft picks, and Adam Lowry is a good argument, I think, that you made right there. Adam Lowry is certainly developing a lot in the juniors this year after being drafted in the second round last year.
And you got a lot of picks in this coming draft.
And you have a lot of picks in this coming draft. Exactly right.
Three third rounders.
That's
and
right.
And 2 seconds.
And you have a couple seconds. You have an additional second from Chicago in the...
Or 3 seconds when I'm forgetting.
In the Oduya trade.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you look at the farm system, and right now, I mean, you know, it just doesn't seem like the top-line talent is there, aside from Scheifele and Trouba, and Lowry being a very interesting guy to monitor, especially as he's developed this year.
Yeah, you know, some guys that they've drafted, again, looking at the CHL scoring, it's always hard, especially for players who are over 18, right? It's, you know, are they taking the next step, or are they just taking advantage of being older players and playing against younger players? It's hard to tell, especially when we don't get to see them live, really, right? Or even on TV, for that matter. In terms of the overall system, the system certainly needs to be restocked. So, I mean, that goes with this year as well. You need guys like Scheifele and Trouba all to come up, but you don't just need them to come up. If you're going to succeed in this market, you need them to be really good players. Because are you going to go out in the UFA market and sign great players? No, you're going to sign Ole Jokinens in the latter half of their career. And that's fine. Hold on. You're going to do that. You sign talent. You draft talent. You need the talent to be good. Good when they're cheap. And you need to be able to retain them. So Trouba has apparently looked great in his first year in Michigan. Scheifele certainly had a great year in Barrie. But you need them both to eventually take the next step forward and be building blocks for this team. Because the truth of the matter is, on the team as you have it right now, what do you have?
Not a ton. You have a lot of depth players. And the truth of the matter is, you know, Scheifele has been great in Barrie this year. Mm-hmm. Scheifele is also the oldest player in the, he's as old as he can be in the OHL. If he wasn't dominating
That's right.
as a top 10 NHL draft pick, And if he wasn't dominating in juniors right now, you're sweating buckets like, oh my God, have we blown this pick? Yeah. Especially when you see guys like Couturier and you can watch Dougie Hamilton.
Right.
I mean, but Scheifele is, so, you know, nothing to be concerned about. Scheifele is going to be an NHL player.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty crystal clear.
The question is what type? Are you looking at a first-line player? Are you looking at a second-line player? Are you looking at, you know, or like a 2B type player, meaning like lower-end second kind
a
of
tweener.
Player? Yeah.
You know, a second-liner on a mediocre team, a third-liner on a good
if
team.
If you talk to people, I think right now they're probably projecting kind of at least of a second-line player. Second-line center.
That's right. And I mean, and that's not a knock against them. Second-line centers don't always come around, and there's been plenty of, you know, top 10 picks who've busted out.
It may very well be a first-round pick. I'm very interested to see how he plays in this World Junior Tournament. And I know he's playing wing in this tournament and right wing, but he played with Nugent Hopkins, and he had a goal in the previous exhibition game. I'm not sure how he played this morning, as you might be able to tell us more about that. Scheifele this morning.
He didn't get any points, but I mean, he was good. I mean, it's a pre-tournament game. I mean, I don't know how much you can look into it, but I mean, he's playing the wing right now, right? You know, and he's a natural center, so he was all right.
I saw that early in the first period. He on the power play, he took a one timer and he rang it off the goalpost.
Yeah, and you know what? Again, those two guys are so key to the way the organization is going, because let's be honest, what they got from Atlanta was bare in terms of prospects in the system, not bare in terms of players. I mean, the Canes and the Bogosians are not bare in terms of talent, but bare in the system.
Yeah, because everybody was already rushed up to the NHL. The system was left.
That's right.
If you had any semblance of being a quasi-NHL player, odds are you got your shot with the Thrashers, even if you weren't ready for
it. Like Bermistrov, especially wasn't ready for it.
No, he certainly wasn't ready for it, but simply because you needed to, you know, the Thrashers were more interested in getting their players who created a buzz, however much of a buzz it created, to the detriment of the franchise as a whole. I mean, short-sighted thinking by an organization that specialized in short-sighted thinking.
That's right.
With the Atlanta Thrashers.
So keeping the guys like Scheifele, I think, by the way, if the Jets come back, if the season comes back, and I would leave Scheifele in the juniors again, because you're retaining the eligibility in terms of his entry-level deal. And
sure.
And then if you want to burn a year, that's based on the fact that the rules will stay generally the same. If you want to burn a year in the AHL to make that next level, I'm okay with that for his development. But if you think he's ready for the NHL next year, then you bring him on, you start his entry-level deal.
And if he is, or, I mean, you know, I think the team expects that he's going to skip over the AHL. That's sort of my impression. You know, especially, you know, this talk that they weren't sure that they were going to be able to guarantee him to Team Canada for the entire length of the World Juniors.
Which is surprising to me. I don't know why you'd burn him on a half season this year. That wouldn't make sense to me.
I would agree with you there. I mean, so that, you know, was a little bit curious to me. But I think the team has high hopes, and they think that he's, as his skating has improved, because it has improved dramatically since he was drafted.
I mean, it's improved. I think Corey Proman, who's up next, has said it's improved quite significantly. I've watched him play it in parts. I haven't seen the significant improvement. I've seen an improvement. But I'm going to pay more attention to him in this tournament.
It also bodes well that he knows that that was a shortcoming, and he's been working hard on that.
For sure. Doesn't mean you're necessarily going to get way better.
Of course. But
he can bulk up what he has, and you can control that a lot better.
But you talk about, I mean, you know, have the Jets found a diamond, or the Jets / Thrashers found a diamond in the rough? Have they found a fifth or sixth round pick that's going to, you know, have they found a Zetterberg, you know, that Detroit found late in the draft? No, they haven't as of yet. And oftentimes you don't for a number of years, so that's not necessarily a knock. But it just does go to say that the farm system, you know, are they 29th? I don't know if they're 29th.
The problem
but
is when
are they top 10? I don't think they're top 10 by any stretch of the imagination.
No, the problem is when you're a middling team, which the Jets are right now, is currently constructed. You know, and you're not really in the. You can say I think the Jets are a chance certainly of being a playoff team, but they're not. You know, not going to make a long run right now
Correct.
In terms of for the next few years. So what you
if
want
everything
is the stock
breaks,
system.
If everything breaks well for them for 48 games, they can certainly be a playoff team, but they don't have the horses necessary or the talent. I mean, they don't have the talent to make a long playoff run by any stretch of the imagination.
And so if you're not there yet, then you want to be stacked in the system. So it's gonna still take a lot of patience from Jets fans.
That's right. That's exactly what it's going to take. It'll take a little while longer, but you know, at least they know that they have an organizational they have a philosophy that which makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
So that 5 years down the road from now, it's unlikely that they're still going to be at, you know, 29th in this ranking, assuming that they draft, you know, slightly better than the Thrashers did. Let's go to break. When we come back, Corey Pronin is going to join us. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. hour's down, 1 hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook and Instagram. Search for Illegal Curve, and the website is www.illegalcurve.com.
Let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Let's welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. He writes for ESPN Insider, and he's been covering the World Juniors, previewing them there. Corey Pronman. Corey, good afternoon, happy holidays, and welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Anytime. Corey, last time there was an NHL lockout in 04-05, the World Juniors were held in Grand Forks, North Dakota, about a two-hour drive south of here. Many Winnipeggers were responsible for making that tournament a success. And Canada rolled through that tournament so much so that it really wasn't competitive at any point in time. Do you expect Canada to roll through this year's tournament the same way?
Well, it's always hard to predict the World Juniors just because it's a short tournament and single elimination. And I mean, it's really hard to predict game results. But at least going into the tournament, Canada has, at least to my eye, a significantly better roster than anybody in the field right now. But because of the big time zone difference, the small to large ice surfaces, there might be a little bit of an adjustment period and some uncertainty. But at least right now, they look like they're clear from the field.
Corey, you kind of led into my next question there. In terms of that larger ice surface, is there a team or teams that benefit from that ice surface as opposed to playing on the North American ice surface?
Well, the fact that the Swedish, Finnish, Russian teams, a lot of the players that they're bringing on there come from leagues that have large ice surfaces, so there's no adjustment period. It's their use of the style of play, how they run their power plays, how they break into the zone. So there's a natural comfort in terms of just how the European game is like, so many of those teams take players from European leagues as opposed to the CHL. So, I mean, just the USA and Canadian teams, they're the ones just who are more or less adjusting right now, and that's why they try and get those exhibition games in early on.
Corey, who's a guy not on the U.S. or Canada that you think is going to be a breakout player?
Yeah, let me see. Look on Team Russia, I think one guy you probably want to look out for is Alexander Hokluchev. Boston pick, he's going to play on the top line with Neil Yakupov. On Sweden, you're going to want to watch Rickard Rakell and William Karlsson, both Anaheim Ducks prospects. They're on the top unit with Caps first-round pick Philip Forsberg, but he's more well-known, whereas those two aren't. And for Finland, I would say Marcus Granlund, a Calgary pick, and Mika Salomäki, a Predators pick.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Corey Pronman of ESPNInsider.com discussing the World Junior Tournament. Corey, in the pre-tournament game earlier today, Jesper Petersen of Sweden was hit by Boone Jenner. He'll be out for the rest of the tournament with a dislocated shoulder and a broken wrist. What sort of role was Petersen expected to play for Sweden in the tournament?
Very small, if any role. They actually had to cut a defenseman today. And I don't know if he was actually going to be one of them, but I think his name was at least on the chopping block. He was going to be like a bottom pairing, maybe seventh defenseman for them. The loss is more on the Canadian side if Boone Jenner is out for a significant amount of time. The IIHF gives him, and most likely will give him, a suspension.
We were talking last segment before you came on regarding Mark Scheifele in just terms of from a junior player, and obviously this is his final World Junior Championship. You know, what does he have to do to make this tournament a personal success for him?
I mean, right now he is on the top line for Canada. When you're playing with players like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Jonathan Huberto, it's really hard to not produce. And the baseline you're expecting is actually going to be pretty high. You're expecting him to maybe not dominate because he's playing such a great line mate. Expect him to produce a lot of offense, to be in on a lot of scoring plays. And I mean, there's no other justification really when you're playing with a guy like Nugent-Hopkins, who arguably is already an above-average NHL player playing with him at the under-20 level. So I mean, I have high expectations for Scheifele going into the tournament.
What about Jacob Trouba? Obviously, he's played well for the University of Michigan. What are you expecting out of him for Team USA?
Well, Jacob Trouba, he played actually the tournament last season. He was really impressive. And this time around, he's expected to be one of the U.S.'s better players. He's expected to probably maybe be one of, if not their, maybe their best defenseman, and show some contribution on the power play as well. I mean, even in the pre-tournament games today, he was basically crushing people left and right with just showing his physical value. And he's kind of evolved a little bit into a good offensive player, too, at Michigan this year. So you're expecting some good puck movement and power play value from him as well.
In terms of, you know, we talk about Scheifele and Trouba really being the two crown jewels of the Jets system, Corey, you know, I hate to put you on the spot, really. Are there two kind of players that you would compare these guys to in the NHL so Jets fans can get an idea of maybe what to expect in the future?
I don't feel comfortable doing comparisons just because I kind of feel it's usually unfair to the players when I do that. But, I mean, Shafley is the kind of player who you look at and you say, you know, this guy can be very likely to be a top six center in the NHL just because he has such a high-end hockey sense. He's a great playmaker, and he does a lot of offensive things well. And with Trouba, you're looking at a guy who can be, I think, also has a pretty reasonable shot to be a top four defenseman, maybe even like a fringe top pairing defenseman, actually, who has like a high-end physical presence on the ice, moves very well, and can be above average offensively as well.
We talk about goaltending all the time. Obviously, you look at the NHL, you look at guys like Jonathan Quick and Tim Thomas taking their teams all the way through. This tournament is obviously a shorter tournament than the Stanley Cup playoffs, but even so, goaltending is always a make or break. Can you talk about maybe which teams are the best goaltending in this tournament, and maybe which teams could lose some on the back end there?
I think in terms of goaltending, the U.S., Russia, and Canada stand out in those regards. John Gibson from the United States is a high-end goalie prospect. For Russia, they have Andrei Vasilevsky, Tampa's first-round pick last season, and Andrei Makarov. Both of them played very well last season. And for Canada, they have Malcolm Subban and Jordan Binnington. But because the World Juniors is such a short tournament, you tend to find that a lot of maybe lesser-named goalies tend to rise up and have a great tournament just because in five games, you never know what you're going to get out of a goalie.
Hey, Corey, you know, like us in Winnipeg here, a lot of people grew up watching Phil Housley play on the blue line here in the early 90s with the Jets. Great skater, obviously, beautiful puck mover, one of the best. He's coaching the American team this year. What's been the reaction to his hire, and what kind of style can we expect him to have the players employ and maybe his coaching style?
When he was first hired, it was actually a bit of a surprise from people I talked to in the hockey community. He wasn't exactly on the radar in terms of being the next World Juniors coach. But I mean, I've seen it, but he definitely has put a high amount of emphasis in terms of letting his skilled players play. I mean, he actually has Galchenyuk on the second line, the Habs' third overall pick from the last season. He's brought in a lot of maybe smaller, more skilled defensemen onto the roster, at least from what I think is going to be the final U.S. roster. So this U.S. team, I mean, he's probably playing maybe towards large ice surfaces too, but looks like a fun team. Looks like it's going to be a fun team to watch.
Corey, we'll let you go on this last question. Look into your crystal ball. Who's going to win this tournament?
Like I said at the top, it's kind of hard to pick anybody by Canada. The roster is just so stacked. When you look at guys like Dougie Hamilton, Nugent Hopkins, Huberto Strome, maybe even Shafley, who might have these guys who would be in NHL training camps or even on teams that they could add to this roster, is kind of hard to pick anybody else.
Well, then let me ask you this one: who do they beat in the finals then?
I'd probably say Sweden.
Sweden, there you go. Corey Pronman, ESPNInsider.com. Thanks very much for joining us this afternoon on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
No problem, guys. Have a good one.
Take care, Corey. Thanks very much. Let's go to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
Many Christmases ago, I went to buy a doll for my son. I reached for the last one they had, but so did another man. As I rained blows upon him, I realized there had to be another way.
What happened to the doll?
It was destroyed. But out of that, a new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
Of course, we won't be on the air tomorrow, but a happy Festivus to everybody tomorrow, you know, celebrating. Who would win a feats of strength here?
I think Ezzy would win.
Ezzy?
Would I win?
Well, you know, how do you feel that you would do in a feats of strength, an illegal curve feats of strength?
I don't know. I think Remus has underrated strength, too.
I thought Dave was called Dave the Wire, Dave Manuk the Wiry one.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he's the strong one.
Wiry strong, isn't that what you?
I don't think wiry strong.
Wiry is definitely not strong.
Maybe, so your mic on? Do you just talk into a mic that you didn't turn on?
Yeah, it's ironic, isn't it?
I have no idea.
I'm not sure it's still on. Anyways, I don't think wiry is like, isn't wiry like shifty?
It's wiry strong, Drew.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, a happy Festivus, of course. And for those of you, we won't be on Merry Christmas ahead of time,
of course,
because we won't be on Tuesday. when we celebrate Christmas. I'm heading out to Kentucky later on this evening.
Thank God.
Yeah, you guys are. You guys will get a week off from me. I won't be here next Saturday, but we'll leave the show in your good hands.
Yeah, I'll move over to the host chair, which is always fun.
Yes, you do enjoy that.
Yeah, Richard, you can read the rapid fire questions now.
Well, I'm going to write the rapid fire questions too, so for the first time ever, they'll be good.
Oh, it's been a zing. It's a zing. This segment of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show is brought to you by Carbone Coal-Fired Pizza, home of Canada's only coal-fired pizza oven. Taste the difference at Carbone Coal-Fired Pizza, 1580 Taylor Avenue. Pizza baked, well done. If you're looking for, you know, a last-minute Christmas gift, perhaps a Carbone gift card, that would be certainly well appreciated by myself. If you're looking to buy me a gift, go there Monday night, coal-fired ribs. They have good ribs. Tuesday, half-off wine night. Wednesday, it's a sangria special. You know, Thursday, you can bring your own wine. And Fridays and Saturdays, signature cocktails are a dollar off. Carbone Coal-Fired Pizza, 1580 Taylor Avenue. Pizza baked, well done. The lockout does provide some positive news, especially if you're responsible for putting together Canada's Spangler Cup roster. I'll tell you what, if Canada loses in the Spangler Cup this year...
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
That's embarrassing. Here's the list of players who are on Canada's Spangler Cup rosters. Tell me if they're any good. The Edmonton Oilers pretty much sent their entire team. Devin Dubnyk is in goal there. Sam Gagne, Ben Eager, Ryan Smith. I love Ryan Smith is still playing in these tournaments.
Oh, Ben Eager's playing. That guy, I mean, he's actually a pretty good skater for a big, tough guy, but, I mean, what's he going to do on that? Anyhow.
I'm not sure. Cam Barker is on the team. He's a former Oiler. How the mighty have fallen for Cam Barker.
Yeah, you know, he was just, I think he was recently released just from the Dallas...
Texas Stars. Yeah,
Texas Stars. Cam Barker's always had a problem with his skating, so I don't think he'd be that helpful on the big ice, although I think he's a booming shot, so on the power play he should be helpful.
Other NHLers, Tyler Seguin, you think they can use him? Patrice Bergeron? Carlo Koliakovo,
who's a good skater, and so is Jason Demers from San Jose here.
Yeah, and the other goalie is going to be Los Angeles Kings goaltender Jonathan Bernier. You know, some other players that are playing. These guys are all playing over in Europe to begin with. Brett McLean, who is, just for the record, different than the Brett McLean who used to play on the Jets. That Brett McLean retired. Curtis McLean. Wonder if they're related. They spell the name. They spell the McLean the same way.
Well, I mean, there's no McLeans out there, right?
No, none whatsoever. But you would think Brett and Curtis, if they're both playing on the Spangler Cup team, they might be related.
They may be.
Yeah, I'll look it up. Pascal Pelletier. Can't say I'm familiar with Pascal Pelletier.
He used to play in the NHL. Okay.
Scott Pelletier used to play in there. Was it Scott Pelletier in the Blues? Who's that guy? Do you remember him?
Oh, Pellerin, I think.
Pellerin, Scott Pellerin, that's right.
Byron Richie.
Yeah, he used to play for, I think, Florida.
Yeah. And Derek Walser.
Did he play for Columbus for a bit?
I was going to say Columbus. Yeah. Yeah. So that's just, I mean, and of course.
And HC Davos is hosting.
Yeah, HC Davos, don't they host? They host it every year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. And, I mean, it's a club tournament. You know, so Team Canada, you know, usually sends club players that are playing over in Europe.
Right.
But, I mean, you're not playing against, like, Team Switzerland or Team Russia. You're playing against HC Davos, of course, of Switzerland. Another team from Switzerland, HC Freiburg Göteron. Sure, I'm sure I butchered that one, let me tell you. HC Vitkovice Steel from the Czech Republic.
Oh, okay.
And Salavat Yulev Ufa from Russia.
Yeah, so it's a KHL team.
A KHL team.
Ufa Russia is where they're playing the World Juniors.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Canadians haven't won the tournament in 5 years, since 2007. And last year, Dynamo Riga won from Latvia.
They play in the KHL.
Yes. Right, they play in the KHL, of course. Yeah. I think it would be safe to say with this lineup that if Canada does not win the Spangler Cup this year, something has gone horribly wrong.
It's a tough tournament to win, though, because you're playing against... It's basically an all-star team versus club teams. If you look at the collection of talent on the Canadian team, they should win. But again, it's not always just... picking the best players and they're necessarily going to win. The reason why I like this tournament every year is because it's so old and it's such a unique tournament. You basically have mm-hmm. a country of players playing in Europe versus club teams that take off that time to play against Canada. It's almost like the reason why I find it so interesting, it's such a nice thing about Canada that Canada gets their own team. Mm-hmm. Like, they're the only country. It's not like Russia gets their own team or Switzerland gets their own team. You know, Canada, we all know how good, you know, Canadian hockey players are. But I like it because it's so unique and it's such a short tournament. So, you know, Canada can win one game and then it comes down to a one-game final. So it's one of those unique tournaments. I don't think anything like that exists, really, and in any other sport that I've heard of.
It's a big tournament there in Switzerland. It's mm-hmm. a very yep. significant tournament. And, of course, you get to listen to Paul Romanek.
Who I really like. Yep. I mean, that's part of the, I mean, and I was teasing you off air earlier as you, when you said that you love the Spengler Cup. And frankly, this time of year with no other hockey besides...
I would still watch it even if there was NHL hockey, though. I've always watched it.
Has it been broad? Is it frequently broadcast?
Always, yeah, it's always... For years. Well, it's always during the same time as the World Juniors. Yes. It's always the same time every year.
Right. But this year, the timing will be different.
The timing's always off.
You know, in Switzerland versus yeah. Russia, it'll that's be right. a lot more palatable for North America to
and,
watch it.
And, Drew, right. I don't think it's ever been... I don't think they've ever televised every single game. Well, they maybe have, but I don't... I think last year we were talking about TSN lost it to the other network, and then now they have it back. You know, it's just one of those things. If you and it's too, I was telling Richie, too... that one of the teams, the team that you mispronounced, I'm not even going to try it.
They have sure.
Christian Dubé, a former World Junior standout. But you just look at the guys, Salavat, Uloev, they have, you guys remember Alexander Svitov was a third overall pick of the Lightning. It's kind of just interesting to see some of the guys that were drafted and where they are. If you're into that type of stuff, I know I am, so I'll watch any brand of hockey. But if you like kind of those guys that you haven't seen or heard of in a while.
Hey, the guy that makes you say, hey, that's where he ended up.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's kind of what the Spengler Cup is,
it
really.
It is, it is,
it's,
yeah.
It's like you hear these guys, and there are a lot of Canadian hockey players that can't make an NHL career that end up, you know, making a good career for themselves in Switzerland or, you know, Germany or whatever. But
I remember the team Italy at the Olympics. You know,
it was all Canadians.
It was all Canadians, yeah. Exactly. You know, and there's always that one team that sort of...
Paul DiPietro, that was the guy.
From the Habs.
He was the guy that remember, he got all the points in the 06 Olympics?
Did
was it
Paul...
the 06 Olympics?
We'll I remember playing...
Yeah, 93 Habs.
I remember playing NHL 94.
Because you were 94.
Yes, thank you. And... it must have been for Sega at that point, because I think that's all. That was the last system I had was a Sega Genesis.
Okay.
And you know, your kids, you fool around. You would play the game with no goaltenders. And if I'm not mistaken, Paul DiPietro had a huge accuracy rating in NHL '94. Now, of course, there's no way that anybody's going to be able to
Remus
verify
is, Remus is the only one that can speak to that.
I remember him having a tremendous accuracy, like almost 100. So they, and, you know, anytime he was on the ice, you could just shoot the puck in from anywhere. That's what
no goalies. Of course, you could shoot.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I mean, you could shoot from his own. Exactly. I mean, yeah.
Everyone has 100 accuracy when there's no goalies.
Yeah. Well, except no, like he would be able to like shoot from his own behind his own net. It was obviously a glitch in the system.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm saying, you're one of those cheaters.
Yeah, or it was a cheater code or whatever you want to call it at that point in time. But I remember in 2004-05, I remember TSN sent. You know, they started their sort of international hockey broadcasting with the World Juniors that year. And because there was no hockey and it was obvious that there wasn't going to be hockey at that point in time, they sent, you know, Gord Miller and whoever over to Europe. And they stayed there for a month and they broadcast every possible international hockey tournament that ever existed, I think, at that point. It was the Spengler Cup. It was the World Juniors. It was a women's tournament. It was a senior men's tournament. They're like, we need as much content as we possibly can get. I mean... It's, you know, really what it just comes down to is you need as much hockey as you can at that point in time.
Well, and I think, you know, right now what we're looking at is a lot of people are going to be following junior hockey and obviously for Jets fans following the St. John's Ice Caps. But, you know, the Memorial Cup is in Saskatoon this year. So for Jets fans that, you know, want to watch junior hockey, they can
take
the drive.
I'm still confident that the NHL is going to be back before, you know, is going to be back this year. You know, we got a couple minutes before break. Am I alone in my confidence?
I still think there will be a season until they decide, until you hear from the horse's mouth that there isn't going to be a season. I don't think that there's, I've been telling people this, you know, that ask me because, you know, hey, we have a radio show. We get put on a pedestal a little bit as experts. I think it's been a coin flip.
Have those people listened to the show before?
No, but Richie, it's been a coin flip for the last 3 months, I would say, whether there's going to be a season or not. I don't think anybody at this point knows. There's a few people that have the control in the situation. You're talking Bill Daly, Gary Bettman, you're talking the Fear Brothers, the NHLPA. Those are the guys. If they want to put all the nonsense aside, they can make a deal tomorrow.
I still think there's going to be season 2, Drew. Again, it's just, you know, you have that much money on the table, you're But at the same time, Bobby Holik came on the show earlier today, said there's not going to be he doesn't think there's going to be a season. From some other people, the same thing. So we will wait and see.
You know what the one good thing will be if everyone, and to be honest with you, this whole lockout has been extremely depressing.
Yep.
There's just it's depressing at this point. I mean, remember Drew went on that rant a couple of weeks ago, and I support him. We've been talking about this, you know, for so long, 100 days essentially. I don't know what it is, day 99, who cares at this point? And we have to talk about this, and because, you know, that's what people want to know. People want to know, is there going to be a season? And, you know, at this point, I can understand that. But the one good thing will be if there is a season, because that, essentially all that can save us right now from this depressing doom and gloom news is if there is a season. If there isn't a season, everyone will just say, okay, well, you know, I told you, you know, there wasn't going to be a season because all the owners and the players have been doing is fighting and disagreeing. But so if there's a season, that will probably be the only good thing that can come out of this, because it's all just, I mean, what can you say? It's almost like unspeakable at this point.
No argument whatsoever for me, and it would be even more unspeakable if they actually managed to blow this entire year. Richie, you're on record as saying if they managed to blow this year, Bettman has to resign.
Yeah, I think that Bettman and Fair can both go their separate ways, and they need.
Do you think they will?
You need to bring in new leadership. If
you knew Fair was a hired gun, anyways, right?
Yeah, like, but if you lose two seasons in what 2004 or 2005, so if you say about 8 years, 8-9 years, if you lose two seasons in that time frame, then you run your course.
That's his legacy. If that becomes Bettman's legacy, I mean, he's done a lot.
And I know he works for the owners, Ezzy. I know he works for the owners. But as a commissioner, you still preside over the game. And if you can't somehow, you know, the truth of the matter is, if it comes down to it.
Do you think the owners will force him out, or do you think he'll just leave on his own?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
Because I'm not sure that he will.
I think the owners have to force him out.
But I don't think they want to. He's just doing their bidding.
That's right.
There's a reason why, like, yesterday, and I mean, this is, no, I'm not even going to go there. Forget it.
But you know what, Drew? He can convince the owners in such a way, you'd say, look at this. Look what's on the table right now. You're fighting over term length. You're getting a cap on term length in any event. They've already conceded they're going to give a cap on term length. Maybe you push a little more for the CBA term. You fight a little more on escrow. But is it really that bad of a deal? Is it worth fighting all over all this to give it all up? I mean, is it worth it, the Toronto Maple Leafs losing 100 mil? Like, how much more are they going to save here, and how much more is there to gain? It's a cost benefit. If you can't get that message across, if you cannot get the message across to your constituents, and it's, you know, maybe if you're Gary Bettman, I realize you're getting $8 million a year. Maybe you say, you know, this is... I also just think, when I'm saying this, it's more also of a personal legacy thing. I think that he'd probably step away more so than he'd be removed. But the owners would be, I mean, you would really see a backlash. You would see season tickets canceled. The game would be a complete mess. You'd be in court. I just can't see all that happening. If it does happen, I think Bettman probably gets out, because the truth is, it's only going to get messier. If there's no season, I think Bettman will resign, because it's only going to get messier.
Let's go to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290. Is this the
NHL 94?
NHL 94 music?
Yeah.
Wow. This is an unbelievable
was
fine
it
ream.
94 or 95 that had a dort instead of a bort? Remember
a
that?
Dort?
Yeah, like they did a misspelling. And it said a dort instead of a bort at the end of the game.
Ream, is this from the Swingers? Is this the NHL 94 from Swingers?
Yeah, that's when you made Gretzky's head bleed.
I think Jeremy Roenick was like the best player in this one.
Yeah.
You could have been, I would have been Timu for sure around that era. 94?
I was a big Vancouver guy.
Yeah. Bure?
Bure, Linden, yep. Cortnell.
Yeah.
Brett Hedekin.
Oh, my God. That music is amazing.
He's a good skater, Hedekin.
Oh, you want me to hit the button?
Yeah, I would like to hit the button. Now.
NHL news
Thanks,
and
Remus.
Notes.
Yeah.
No, when I give you the finger point, that usually... that you know, I know it's hard to believe, but that is actually the cue for you to hit the button.
No, but you don't understand. Drew Ream was actually playing NHL 94 on Sega.
Sorry.
He wasn't just playing the music. He was actually started playing a game.
I typed in that a dort instead of a bort, but then all I got was a bunch of searches for abortion on Google.
Yeah, that's probably not the best thing in the world there, I got to tell you. The Ottawa Senators want to host an outdoor hockey game in 2017 to commemorate the NHL's 100th anniversary and Canada's 150th anniversary.
Well, we can book it and cancel it once the Winter Classic.
Should Ottawa be the team to host the outdoor game for the NHL 100th year anniversary?
Sure. Who cares? I mean, you know, in all honesty, it's either Montreal, Toronto, or Ottawa. I like the idea of playing with the Rideau Canal.
That's yep. They wouldn't play it there, but they.
But that's what
that's the Rideau Canal. Yeah.
Drew, when Drew was on the hill during lunch breaks, he would go swimming in the Rideau Canal.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
I'm not
when Kramer went swimming in the East River. It's pretty much. There are other people out there swimming, floating.
Yeah.
Richie, you know, I know what you're saying. I mean, yeah, it's good that they're taking the initiative. That was in the Ottawa Business Journal that they're shooting for that Lansdowne Park game. You know what? And just to localize it a little bit here, it's really going to be nice if the plans True North works with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and Investors Group Field, and they I know that they would be willing to. And because the thing is, there's so much money to be made with these outdoor games. If you could get 40,000-45,000 people at Investors Group Field, and I think I know that Jets fans would I don't want to raise their hopes, but I'm just saying I think that would be great too.
I know I'm a Scrooge. But these outdoor games don't excite me.
They're moneymakers.
Well, I know they're moneymakers, but they don't overly excite me. The first one was neat, but now you're just sitting outside. The hockey is pretty lousy because, well, everybody's freezing, and the ice is bad, and the fans are cold. I mean, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just an old fart, but the idea of sitting outside in Winnipeg in January watching bad hockey doesn't thrill me to no end.
I wouldn't rather do anything but do that.
That would be your dream. You would actually just go sit outside right now and watch kids play hockey.
Oh, no, I don't even need to watch anything. I'll just sit outside in the minus 30 weather. No, but I mean, I think fans love it, and it makes a lot of money, and that
costs a lot of money for fans to attend.
Yeah, but people will dish it out. I mean,
it's called beer.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's the equalizer. Richie just found the common denominator there. You can drink lots of beer, and that keeps you warm. But you know what? I think it's fun, and these. I think that we're going to continue to see these outdoor games. And remember, the game in Michigan was going to be a week long event. So
well, they're all
week. I like them. I mean, we can agree to disagree, right?
Well, we usually do disagree. So if we haven't agreed to disagree at this point in time, then we've just had a lot of arguments.
Or we can disagree to agree.
Are you waving your hands at me, Remus?
No,
or are you stretching?
I'm just stretching.
Remus, what do you want?
Okay.
Remus is allowed to stretch, Drew.
He was going like this. It was like he's flagging
Remus
me down.
Remus is stretching out. He's doing all this work.
Are you practicing for your job at the airport where you bring planes in later on?
Remus, I thought you were waving in.
Yeah, I thought you wanted to jump in there. I guess not.
It's 2017. I don't know. It's a long time. We don't even have hockey back right now.
Just chill, Drew.
Let's get the season back before you think about 2017. Yeah.
Do you know how hard it is to make a show plan that isn't the same topic every single segment?
It's pretty hard.
Do you have any idea how difficult this is?
Is Drew having a breakdown?
Fighting over, while the owners and players fight over these millions of dollars that they're all going to get anyhow, both going to get, we're sitting here trying to put a show plan together for a three-hour hockey show every week.
It's not the easiest thing in the world trying to find anything that is relevant to news and notes, as you can see by the next news and notes.
Remus, what are you like? You're operating the round table. You're operating this show. You're operating like 20 hours a week of content with no hockey.
I'm pretty sure Remus is keeping the hockey world going round right now in Winnipeg.
It's definitely been tough, especially last few weeks when they're not meeting and there's nothing going on.
Guys, should we have a big cry session right now?
Is the round table literally, because this table is not really, well, I guess it'd be round if it was including Remus. Are you considered part of the round table, or does the table end halfway? It's like a half table.
The Remus round table.
I'm at the end of it. I don't think I'm included in the round
table. So it's more of a crescent moon.
Yeah, it should be called the crescent moon table. The Rona crescent moon table.
This table definitely isn't round, but the guys sitting at it definitely are.
That's funny.
Oh, God.
The Phoenix Coyotes saga, in addition to the NHL, the CBA saga, is hopefully mercifully coming to an end.
What's my boy Phil Lieberman doing right now?
Yeah, what about little Johnny?
Yeah.
No, little Logan.
Logan.
Yeah. He's on Twitter.
Yeah, but didn't he tweet at you the other day, Ezzy, after you started retweeting the fake event?
Fake Evander Kane only follows two people, me and Britney Spears.
So basically what you're saying is you're fake Evander Kane.
Yeah. No, absolutely not. I only wish I could come up with that genius.
Yeah. Anyways, Greg Jamieson has signed a lease with the city of Glendale. He has until January 31st to close the purchase of the Phoenix Coyotes with
blah,
the NHL.
Blah, blah.
Do you think he's got the money?
No, he's getting... who's paying for it now? Larry Fitzgerald?
Of the Arizona Cardinals? Because he's going to quit playing football with those quarterbacks?
The one thing that's more fun...
It's a crescent moon table, not a round table.
Yes. Put your feet down.
Yeah.
There's only one thing more absurd than, as Richie likes to say, than the NHL lockout, and that's probably the Coyotes ownership saga. Have we taken that seriously for the last year?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know how... Where do you... Like,
No, we you obviously know have. We've been able to not take it seriously, which is
I'll
a lot nicer than the alternative.
Let's take the Mayan calendar ending the world about as seriously as the Coyotes ownership situation.
It's true.
I mean, I can't. I don't know what to say anymore with that. I mean,
yeah, Drew, have that get into the show, please.
The Coyotes.
Just told you how difficult it is to make up content.
We shouldn't talk about the Phoenix Coyotes ownership situation ever again on the show.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about the Phoenix Coyotes on ice, that's one thing.
Want to do more?
Or their fans and but.
Want to impose a moratorium?
Sure, we can impose a moratorium.
Yeah, from discussion
list. First of all, you can't talk if you don't have your mic on.
You told me to turn it off.
Well, yeah, I wasn't serious. Reem,
you don't have to take instructions from him. You're the producer.
Well, we're at Legal Curve Roundtable. This table's round right now.
Are we making a ban from discussion list?
Yeah, we are.
Phoenix
can
Coyotes?
Can we ban?
Phoenix Coyotes ownership is on the ban for discussion list.
What about banning Drew from the show entirely?
Well, he's leaving next segment. So.
I'm actually, this is my last segment for a week, so you guys will be banning.
Oh, this is your last show for 2012. We're going to ban you for the rest of 2012.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
We might call him next week.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a Kentucky call.
We're not that desperate.
Are you sure?
We're pretty desperate.
Okay, I'll tell you what. You just said you're not that desperate. Throughout the course of the week, as you're trying to put the show plan together for next week, let me know if you're that desperate or not. I suspect they'll be on for an hour.
Well, Drew, it would help if you didn't put the show plan together on the back of a napkin. That you're using.
Yeah, to wipe your face. Yeah.
Then I get ink all over my face. Ink and ribs. It's really ugly. Altogether.
That's a topic here.
Mike,
Babcock
said that the lockout has to go or else we're going to end up like bowling. I think the NHL would love to end up like bowling. They got ESPN coverage.
You just change your change your Shea Weber jersey to a Pete Weber jersey.
There you go. Pete Weber, of course, the legendary bowler.
Never heard of him.
Really?
I don't know. I can't name any bowlers.
Really?
I know bowling movies.
You know Pete Weber?
Big Lebowski, Kingpin, but...
What was the guy's name in Kingpin?
Munson? Roy Munson.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I like Big Lebowski better.
That's a great movie.
Well, it is shot.
Was John Goodman in both of those?
No, John Goodman wasn't in Kingpin.
That wasn't Kingpin. That was Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
No.
Woody Harrelson and...
Completely different person.
Yeah. They look completely separate from one another. It's Shabbos, so, you know, you don't roll on Shabbos.
Right.
Yeah, exactly right. Why don't we see if there's anything else here in this news and notes segment. Chris Chelios sees a future as an NHL head coach.
I can see that.
Really?
Yeah, good fitness, hard...
He's coaching right now in the
hard
AHL.
Ass. Yeah.
Is he coaching in the AHL?
Yeah, he is.
What?
Yeah, with the...
Like as a head coach?
Oh, like a kind of a...
No,
bring him in and...
Like
yeah,
a consultant?
He's an assistant. Yeah. He's an assistant. No, he's a consultant with the Red Wings,
okay.
But he's who's he? Grand Rapids?
Yeah, he's the coaching AHL Grand Rapids.
Yeah,
during the lockout.
Well, I'm not going to make you look bad
here.
But
he's helping.
I'll make
out.
Myself
Is
look
he
bad.
He going on the road for every trip too. I thought he was just helping out.
No,
he's an advisor
to hockey operations. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
I want to be an advisor.
The best part is he's 50 and he retired 2 years ago.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, Chelios is one of the greatest defensemen of all time. I mean, we all know how. You thought twice when you went in front of the net. Chelios would give you four cross checks in the back.
That's true.
But yeah, I think he'll be a terrific coach, and a guy like Chelios won't have to wait that long. I mean, he would be not doing this if there was an NHL season, but he's the type of guy that if he wants to, he could probably be an NHL coach in 5 years if he wants to, you know, maybe coach in the ECHL, AHL, something like that. But yeah, I think that's good for him. It's good that he's not just sitting back and not doing anything.
That's
like
true.
Some other guys.
Exactly. Well, we leave news and notes there. Gentlemen, a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, but I will see you before New Year's. I'm back on the 30th. But as always, it's been a pleasure to spend far too much time together.
Before you go, top moment of 2012.
That's true.
Aside from just being a friend of mine.
Hockey related?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because if it's just generally related, I would have to say my wedding.
Show related.
Or the top moment of 2012.
Or anything related.
Wow. I guess that was 20.
Well, Drew, that's the first time you've been speechless in 2012, so we'll leave it there.
I guess the Jets came back in 2011, so that doesn't count.
Your wedding will stick out.
My wedding, I mean, in terms of non-show related, the wedding would have to win. In fact, we can talk about before we quickly go to break. The Ezzies again tomorrow. Yep. Do you know what time they start on Twitter tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, so you can tune in on from Kentucky.
Yeah.
The Ezzies, which for people who don't follow me on Twitter.
They don't need an explanation.
Okay, the Ezzies are going to be at 6 o'clock tomorrow, around probably, let's say 7 tomorrow.
Okay.
And basically I give out, Twitter awards. So last year, Reem won Best Sarcastic Tweeter. And, I'm going to have like 20, 30, 40 awards, mm-hmm. and I'll just give them out. I'll tweet them out. So follow me, ICSEG, if you want to, you know, it's just fun.
Yeah, it's a complete waste of time, but it's generally
I'm one of the best in the world at wasting time.
You're a master at that. It's generally entertaining. So that you can follow that tomorrow on Ezzy's Twitter account, 7 o'clock tomorrow night, at ICSEG, the second annual Ezzy Twitter
and
Awards.
Let me tell you, I mean, people are pretty excited. Like, people that won last year, you know, Double M Martin, Ellie K.
Yeah, this is enough.
Jets XOXO, our boy Constantine. A lot of people excited.
Okay.
Remus obviously won. Drew, you won for best engagement. You're a front runner for best wedding with Laura Piles.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. Fingers crossed. Yeah. Boys, Merry Christmas. I'll see you in a week, 10 days or so.
Drew, you're really prolonging this year.
I'm going now. Let's go to break. Here, you're listening to the to TSN 1290 and the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 247, here in a freezing Saturday afternoon. Drew Mandel has, of course, departed. I'm Richard Pollock, joined in studio by Ezra Grinsberg, and, of course, our beautiful producer, Michael Remus, who is, in fact, going to partake in this segment, and even more so, is going to be the de facto host.
Yeah, guys, I'm here reading the questions. Drew wrote these, so I'm not going to take credit for how awesome they are.
Hold on. Where's the theme music?
Oh, right. Sorry, one sec. I got to pull it up here.
Holy Remus, you know, two things at once.
Pushing buttons is harder than
it sounds.
We're
not asking you to bake a cake here.
Yeah, dear God.
You better not ask me to bake a cake. Okay, wait. Ready, guys? Here we go.
Rapid fire.
All right. Stefan Nosen, a talented forward for the Plymouth Whalers of the OHL and a former first-round pick of the Ottawa Senators in 2011, was expected to be a key member of Team USA at the upcoming World Junior Hockey Championship. Unfortunately for Nosen, he was recently assessed a 10-game suspension for charging in the OHL, and he will only serve 3 games of the suspension when the World Juniors begin. IIHF bylaws state that player suspensions will apply to participation in ice hockey competitions, irrespective of the competition in which the offensive given rise to the suspension occurred. Do you agree that CHL suspensions should affect an individual's eligibility for IIHF? That was a long...
Is this a thesis or the first question?
First of all, Drew writes these questions. That was the longest preamble ever.
What did you just say?
I blacked out.
Let me...
No. I think that I actually don't mind this rule. If you're going to be suspended guys, then it should be carrying over to any league. I don't really have an issue with that.
No, and if I don't know if you saw the hit, Richie, but they were actually showing it on TSN earlier this week. It was a pretty bad hit in the sense that he leaves his feet, but it actually the defenseman it was on the Oshawa Generals Tyler Hoare on the Oshawa Generals. He leaves his feet and hit him. The guy was pretty injured, but that's one of those situations where the rule is a rule. You know, that's how international hockey works. If you have a suspension in the Ontario Hockey League, it carries over.
You want to do a Drew impression? I mean, come on. If you want to play in the Canadian, if you want to play for the Americans in the World Juniors, you just don't take a penalty like that.
That's the way it is. But I think the U.S., you know, still has some other talented players that will be able to step in.
Call a spade a spade.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, unfortunately... If it happened with, you know, Boone Jenner, you know, for same, Canada, it would have been the exact same thing. So,
you know what? You live by the sword, you die by the sword. If you're going to play that kind of hard-nosed hockey, you got to face the consequences.
Drew just drove, like, into a building on his way to the airport.
Oh, he loves this. Remus, next question.
Okay, I'm not even going to read Drew's question because I can't. So, Joffrey Leupel tweeted this week.
Yep. This is funny.
This is his quote.
This is funny.
At Real Sports, you know, the sports bar in Toronto.
Yep.
Is not allowed to take reservations from Leafs players during the lockout, but they'll continue selling our jerseys for $300 a pop. Sour grapes on Leupel's part, or, you know, does he have a legitimate grape here?
Well, first off, if I was Joffrey Leupel during this lockout, I wouldn't want to go where all these Leafs fans are. Yeah. I would be a little bit intimidated. But you know, it's pretty funny that Real Sports is owned by MLSE, which owns the Raptors and the Leafs and all those teams. It's funny, though, that he can't even get into a bar. Like, he's literally locked out of a bar that's everyone's going to. To me, it's just really funny. I was thinking about this, like, if you were with Joffrey Leupel and, you know, he doesn't get in, would you go in or would you leave with him? I would probably go in.
I just wonder who wants to buy a Joffrey Leupel jersey.
Yeah.
mean, the guy stole money from Anaheim. He had one good year
not,
in Toronto.
Not literally,
where
but
where people made a big deal out about it. But dear God, man. And by the way, he tweets too much, and I can't. He's annoying.
Next question. While not officially over, all indications are that Sean Avery has played his final NHL game. And
speaking
he's transitioning his new career into an advertising executive on Madison Avenue. His duties aren't clear, but he'll do a combination of account management and modeling and representing of brands.
What kind of job where do you do account management and modeling?
He's a jack-of-all-trades, guys. He can play many roles. Given Avery's hockey career, what existing brand or company is Sean Avery best suited to represent?
Well, as someone who does marketing and modeling, what brand is he best suited? Wow. It would have to be something extremely douchey.
How does Sean Avery even, like, how is he still even in the picture of anybody's stories anymore? The guy was an overrated hockey player. It's a classic case of, like, you know, what's happening with, like, ESPN. Like, they'll put on Tim Tebow every day and Terrell Owens every day and all these guys every day who, like, haven't done anything in 10 years. I mean, for God's sake, why is this even a story? How does this even crack a show plan?
Sean Avery should model, like, Abercrombie and Fitch or something.
No, man, not even that. This guy shouldn't be anywhere near anybody's television or magazines. He's a non-entity.
Hold on, why don't we... Hey, we put a moratorium on Phoenix Coyotes ownership issues. Moratorium on anything Sean Avery related.
100%. Rena's put it on the board.
Okay, fine. We're putting that on.
There's no board.
If we keep putting stuff on banned list during a lockout, we're not going to have anything to talk about.
Rena, you keep talking that way, you're on the banned list.
Okay, fine. Next rapid fire.
Yeah.
With the CBA negotiations now moving from the boardroom to the courtroom, yet another judge will become known to hockey fans. First, it was Judge T. Redfield Baum presiding over the Phoenix Coyotes bankruptcy proceedings. Now it's U.S. District Judge Paul A. Engelmeyer, who's been assigned the NHL's class action complaint against the NHLPA. Not hockey related, but real or fictional, who is your favorite TV judge?
Oh, great question. Oh, do you throw out a Mills Lane?
Mills Lane is good.
Or do you throw out, like, what's the judge from The Simpsons?
Judge Drudy.
Or Judge Drudy. Who's the judge from The Simpsons?
Judge
Joe Brown. There was a lot of good ones.
Judge Ito,
that's a good one from the O.J. Simpson. I'm going to go with Judge Mills Lane. I don't know. He just talked really fast, and he would always be super hard on the criminals. I'll go with Mills Lane.
Judge Judy, because, I mean, come on, who hasn't gone to their grandmothers and seen them watching Judge Judy in, from 2 to 3 o'clock every day?
Is she a real judge? Like, is that real? When they do that, is that real law?
I think it's just, like, small claims court, isn't it? I don't know. I don't actually watch the show.
Okay, next question. Favorite TV lawyer?
That's not part of the show plan.
Jackie Childs?
Childs is great, especially when that Burger King commercial basically just ripped off Jackie Childs.
Lionel Hutz?
I was just going to say Lionel Hutz easily.
Or who's the Mr. Burns' lawyer? He's always pretty funny.
Is this a podcast? Did Rena just take over for Drew? He's just totally going off. Are we going to do cheers and jeers here?
Oh, right. Yeah, so we ran a rapid-fire question, so I thought
we forgot we were on the radio.
Holy smokes.
Hopefully we still have a show next week, hey?
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, let's do it.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy. And jeers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something stinks like this.
Surprisingly not good.
Reem, you're not even going to throw it to me.
I was going to say, so, in the tradition of Drew not being here, are we doing cheers and jeers as Drew, Richard?
Mm-mm. Well,
as he's not going here, we know that, but Richard will.
Next week we're doing that.
Oh, next week, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead here, Reem. I'm going to cheer Pat Elnuck, who was voted top world junior of all time. And we should be clear that this was done kind of in the Rory Fitzpatrick style, and that anybody, you could vote as many times as you wanted to. So obviously there's been some good world juniors. Marty Murray, Jordan Eberle were second and third, and Jonathan Toews, obviously, Lindros, Braden Schenn. But Pat Elnuck actually got the most votes, former Winnipeg Jets. So you know what? I'm going to get any chance I have to give Pat Elnuck a cheer. He was a great Jet in the late 80s. So that's my cheer this week.
I'm going to cheer the NHL players who decided to put on the RBC Charity Challenge this week.
Good cheer.
It was put on basically run by kind of PK Subban and Steven Stamkos and those associated with them. But they raised money for a good cause. And all the bad press both sides are getting in this, I will say that the players have been putting on a fair amount of charity events. There's been a couple here. And give them kudos, because at the end of the day, they're still giving back regardless of, you know, we talked about Evander Kane before, but there's a heck of a lot more players who've done a lot of good than a lot of bad.
I'll take my cheer. I'm going to cheer this beginning of the World Junior Hockey Championship. You know, it's about time we finally see some world-class hockey. And thank you. I mean, it's at 3 a.m., but, you know, they're going to have replays. It'll be on all the time. And finally give us some, you know, on-ice product to watch, enjoy, and talk about. And by all accounts, it's going to be a great tournament because there's some great talent there.
Absolutely. Yep. You know, guys, Drew's away next week, so I'll be sitting in the host chair. Just want to basically say we're trying to track down somebody from the NHLPA. Next week's show will be on will be right before the new year. I don't anticipate there being any significant negotiations, but in any event, we'd like to be able to track down somebody from the PA. So that's our personal, that's our first lead right now. We're going to work on a couple other guys, and if you have any requests for guests and such, feel free to send it to our Twitter at Illegal Curve. And of course, as Drew always mentions, you can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve and on Instagram now at Illegal Curve, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. Our guests today were, of course, Bobby Holik, former New Jersey Devil, easy for me to say, former New York Ranger, and former Atlanta Thrasher, now Winnipeg Jets, of course. Also on the show today was Corey Prodman from Hockey Prospectus and ESPN Insider. Corey's a prospect expert. Our sponsors, David Carr of Monopoly Realty, Carbone Coal-Fired Pizza, and Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. I'd like to give a nice shout-out to our producer in the first 2 hours of the show, Tim Debenham. Wish him a Merry Christmas. We'll be seeing him, of course, before New Year, though. Michael Remus for filling an app more than adequately for Drew Mandel and doing a great job opping, except for when he missed that one signal there while he was multitasking. Give him a little bit of the gears. Did a great job, Remus. For Ezzy Ginsberg, I'm Richard Pollack. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Join us again for serious hockey talk, Saturdays from noon to 3. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show, only on TSN 1290, your official home of the Winnipeg Jets.